If the war went well, it would constrain the individualistic tradition and convince Americans of the supremacy of public need over private possessions. Another progressive put it more succinctly, laissez-faire is dead. Long live social control. Crowley's New Republic was relentless in its push for war. In the magazine's very first editorial, written by Crowley, the editors expressed their hope that the war should bring with it a political and economic organization better able to redeem its obligations at home. 2 years later, Crowley again expressed his hope that America's entry into the war would provide the tonic of a serious moral adventure. A week before America joined the war, Walter Lippmann, who would later write much of Wilson's 14 Points, promised that hostilities would bring out a transvaluation of values as radical as anything in the history of intellect. This was a transparent invocation of Nietzsche's call for overturning all traditional morality. Not coincidentally, Lippmann was a protege of William James's, and his call to use war to smash the old order illustrates how similar Nietzscheans and American pragmatists were in their conclusions and often their principles. Indeed, Lippmann was sounding the pragmatist's trumpet when he declared that our understanding of such ideas as democracy, liberty, and equality would have to be rethought from their foundations as fearlessly as religious dogmas were in the 19th century. Meanwhile, socialist editors and journalists, including many from the masses, the most audacious of the radical journals that Wilson tried to ban, rushed to get a paycheck from Wilson's propaganda ministry. Artists such as Charles Dana Gibson, James Montgomery Flagg and Joseph Pennell, and writers like Booth Tarkington, Samuel Hopkins Adams, and Ernest Poole became cheerleaders for the war-hungry regime. Musicians, comedians, sculptors, ministers, and of course the movie industry were all happily drafted to the cause, eager to wear the invisible uniform of war. Isadora Duncan, an avant-garde pioneer of what today would be called sexual liberation, became a toe-tapper in patriotic pageants at the Metropolitan Opera House. The most enduring and iconic image of the time is Flagg's I Want You poster of Uncle Sam, pointing the shaming finger of the state made flesh at uncommitted citizens. Almost alone among progressives, the brilliant, bizarre, disfigured genius Randolph Bourne seemed to understand precisely what was going on. The war revealed that a generation of young intellectuals trained in pragmatic philosophy were ill-equipped to prevent means from becoming ends. The peculiar congeniality between the war and these men was simply baked into the cake, Bourne lamented. It is, he sadly concluded, as if the war and they had been waiting for each other. Wilson, the great centralizer and would-be leader of men, moved overnight to empower these would-be social engineers, creating a vast array of wartime boards, commissions, and committees.